You're listening to Career Chat's Executive Insights, brought to you by Page Executive.
Welcome. This is the first in what will be a series of interviews with leaders that I get to work with across the north of England in my role with Page Executive, placing finance directors and CFOs. And I'm really pleased today to be joined by Nicola McQuaid. Nick is an investment director with North Edge Private Equity. Nick, do you want to tell us what that actually means and what you do?
Sure, no problem. So I spend most of my time working with management teams in our portfolio. I'm a non-exec representative for North Edge on four of our boards. And I spend my time supporting and challenging management teams to ensure that we're making good quality decisions and getting best return on our investment.
Okay. Very professional answer. Well done. And what did you want to be when you were growing up then?
What did I want to be? I did want to be a businesswoman, but when you're younger, that doesn't really mean anything, does it? I knew I wanted to work in business, but I had absolutely no clue what that meant or what that would look like.
And where did that come from then? Where did that aspiration
My dad.
Be? Right,
My
okay.
dad. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your dad then.
So my dad worked for HSBC when I was growing up, and we spent quite a lot of time over in Hong Kong, which is an exciting financial city. And so I got to mix with all sorts of people in all sorts of different walks of life and see the way they live, the jobs that they do, just excited me.
So that kind of experience growing up obviously had a big influence on you then?
Yeah, pretty huge.
So you're obviously a professional leader in your own right now. What were you like growing up?
I was obviously the model child. I've always been a really driven person. So from a very young age, whether it was schoolwork or sports, I have zero creativity in my body, but definitely sports and schoolwork have always been. I've always wanted to excel. I have worked very hard to curb my natural competitive tendencies because otherwise always wanting to win can get really obnoxious. But I think hard working, I think I've always been a positive kind of person, can do. I get that from my mum, and I get my my demanding nature from my dad.
So what sports did you do then? Talk to us about the sort of competitive nature that you've got that you've been trying to suppress all these years.
So I was a gymnast from age 7 to 16-ish. I represented the UK and Hong Kong internationally. So I was fiercely competitive, and it required quite a lot of self-discipline and drive to balance the kind of intense training schedule and schoolwork. It was a great sport to be involved in, because then it also your sort of self-awareness, spatial awareness, and your flexibility and your speed meant that I was also good at, you know, things like hurdles in athletics and high jump. So I turned it to my advantage in high school.
Right, okay. So if you weren't doing what you're doing now, was there a point at which you could have become, at what level did you compete? You know, how high did you get?
I did the Commonwealth Games.
All right, so pretty good. Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. So just
for Hong
just,
Kong, not for the UK, but for Hong Kong.
Oh, well, that makes it rubbish then. Yeah, you were only Commonwealth Games for Hong Kong. But that's pretty good. So how old were you when you were competing in the Commonwealth?
16.
Right, okay. And how did you get on?
I came about halfway. I really enjoyed it though, and it was I met Linford Christie and in the canteen, which is really exciting. Got his photo of him standing next to me with an apple core, half eaten.
out of interest, and there's a million questions about Linford Christie there that I would love to ask, but they're for another time, perhaps. But when you said you finished halfway, do you see that as halfway up or halfway down?
That's a good question. Probably halfway up. I think at the Commonwealth Games is a slightly sort of curious mixture of sort of nationalities and sort of abilities. So it's not really like the Olympics where you have sort of wholesale representation and the whole gambit. It's quite polarized. So you've got some very, very good gymnasts, and then you've got some gymnasts that are there to sort of take part type thing. So I mean, to be honest though, the experience in itself was just amazing. It was really fun, but I was quite lucky because whilst everybody else from Hong Kong seemed to be taking it very seriously, and I did take it seriously, I was just really glad to be there, and I was just soaking it all up. Whereas I had some friends who were representing England, and it was a very serious agenda for them, you know. So, I'm not sure how our experiences would have differed, but I'm pretty sure I enjoyed mine more.
Right. Okay. So you're saying you went to the Commonwealth Games and just had a blast, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Right. Well done. And you could have finished further than halfway, but just had a great time.
I did have a really great moment though, where I did one of my moves on the beam, which is where you sort of do a backflip and you straddle the beam, and I landed slightly awkwardly, and my face, I just went ooh like this, and then I could see everybody in the crowd in front of me go ooh with me. So it's just some funny moments.
So how did you go from halfway up in Commonwealth Games gymnastics through to the career you've had now, and talk us through a little bit of your career journey.
Probably by fluke and accident. I made one application as a graduate to a graduate program, and that was with PwC in audit at the behest of my then boyfriend, now husband, who said, "Oh, all of my mates have done their ACA at one of the big four accountancy firms, and they've gone on to do really great things. You should do that." And so I made one application, went for interview, got the role, and started work. So I'd love to say it was from loads of research and preparation, but it was a total fluke. And then I think when I got into PwC, I guess like a lot of people who work in one of the big four, the great thing about those firms is that there's choice and the ability to try different things and move around. So I went from London to Manchester to Leeds, and I went from audit to corporate finance. And I think I really, I did a bit of research before I joined corporate finance, actually, just because I really wanted something where your clients didn't dislike you, and I wanted to be somewhere where they listened and you could influence them, and it was more forward-looking and more exciting. And at that point in time, it looked like corporate finance was a good bet for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's a fairly good description of corporate finance, I guess. Yeah. And if you look back on your career, because post that, then you joined JLA, I believe, was it?
Yep.
And then into North Edge. Have you made any missteps in your career? You look back and anything you got wrong or anything you regret?
I think I won't be so cheesy as to say I don't have any regrets, right? Because that would be daft. But I think the thing that I probably didn't appreciate when I went from a big four accountancy firm with a very clear path to sort of and route through and progression to working in industry in a corporate development role that had much more ambiguity around it in terms of progression and development, and also I didn't really appreciate what I had at the time in PwC in terms of peer group, people around me who were similarly driven and thought similar ways and had similar skills, and you could bounce stuff off each other, and there was a real network there. I think when I first got to JLA, that was a real learning curve for me, because it was good in the end, you know, lots of different people from many different sort of backgrounds and professions. But I think I probably hadn't appreciated how spoiled I was for kind of people to support and challenge me. I got there in the end, and I think I learned different things off of the rest of the team at JLA. They had very different backgrounds. They weren't accountants. They weren't in professional services. They'd always been in industry, most of them, and were doing very, very different types of roles. But I think I built some long-lasting relationships there, and I learned a lot from those people in different ways. But it took me a little while to calibrate. Mm-hmm. How am I going to learn here and develop, and where is this going? And I think that's probably what left to my departure from JLA after about 3.5 years. I sort of realised that I could do more of the same, and it just might be a slightly different flavour, or I could take another turn in my career and do something a bit different with a bit more variety. And although my husband tells me now that I'm a bit daft for not realising that I like variety, I didn't realise it at the time. So in my next move, I went looking for something that would kind of keep me on my toes learning, keep the variety coming, and just ensure that I had sort of ongoing development and challenge.
Would you say then that period, or could be a different time, but when's been the most challenging period in your career?
I'd say that would be the first three, four months at North Edge, actually.
Okay.
Because I had gone from a very different pace at JLA, which was still exciting and lots going on, but it was to my timeline. We were the principal in the deals that we were doing. You're working with small SMEs, owner managers who, they closed their business at 5 o'clock and check back in at 9 o'clock the next day. And so there was less pace and intensity to that. And also I only had to think about one business and maybe a couple of deals at the same time. When I joined North Edge, I think it was like going from 0 to 60. I got a bit of whiplash the first few months. It was like re-engaging my brain to think about multiple things.
Yeah.
All the time, and to juggle different priorities and to re-engage with the kind of intensity and pace of the deals market. It took me about 3 months, I think, but I got there, and of course now that's just normal operating procedure. But I think I hadn't appreciated that I had, I guess, slowed down a bit, and enjoyed the lull.
Did you recognise that was you needing to get back up to speed, as you describe it, or was there a point that you thought perhaps you'd made the wrong move in going there?
No, never, never. And to be honest with you, that was more driven by the people around me. And also, immediately I realised that if I had wanted a career that was going to challenge me and give me variety, I was pretty much in the perfect place. I think it would have been different had it been a bit more of a I don't want to make North Edge sound soft, but a tough, hard-nosed environment, whereas I found myself really well supported and lots of great colleagues always there to help and support and answer questions. And so even though it was hard work, I didn't ever feel adrift.
Have you surprised yourself in your career at all?
I think I'm surprised that I have ended up doing something with so many numbers. I did languages at university. Mm-hmm. And I love history and reading and books and things like that. So I think I've probably surprised myself in how numerate right. my role is. But actually I think the contrast to that is I have found a role which probably would surprise everybody in from an outside in perspective in terms of how dominated it is by people and relationships, and that is the bit that I really that's the bit that gets me out of bed every morning.
You mentioned earlier on about the sort of traits that you picked up from your parents.
For Sandra. Yeah. Subtle blend.
But did you, and obviously you were competitive, as you mentioned as well, but did you, when you started out on that career in business, did you always think you would get to the level that you've got to?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Why?
Not because I was overblown by self-confidence, but just because I wanted to. And my track record on everything that I'd ever done was you put in the hard work, you get the results. So I had no reason to doubt that that I would get somewhere, or I would get as far as I wanted to go. Mm. Because for me, in my very simplistic youth, I just assumed that I was going to work hard at it and it would work.
And I'm not suggesting for a minute that you've reached the top of your career. But if you were scoring your career today out of 10, what would you give yourself out of 10?
Oh, give myself or give me?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's a toughie. I don't know. I think I'd have to be sort of somewhere between 8 and 10. Not for me, but because
so nine.
I can honestly say, yeah, maybe. I don't know. There's always room for improvement, right? But I've loved my jobs and I've loved the teams that I've worked in. And
yeah.
I would find it really hard to think of a different path that I would have enjoyed more.
Mm-hmm. And what things have you talked a little bit about suppressing perhaps that natural uber competitiveness. I think there's a number of people that can maybe talk about that or different things, but what have you learned through your career that you perhaps had to change or had to modify to kind of get to where you are now?
I think the main thing that I had to learn from, and I learned this in school, if I'm really honest, was that you can go fast alone or you can go far together, and so I've sort of, whilst I think my instinct is to push hard, run ahead and go for it, I've realised the benefit of bringing people with you and getting there as a team and how that feels. I always used to reflect on this because gymnastics is an individual sport, right? Mm. And I used to do quite a lot of swimming as well, so a lot of individual support sports. But then in the last 2 years of high school, I did touch rugby, which I absolutely adored. And it was brilliant, but it was the team aspect of that, which I really, really loved. And there's when you're in a team, you want to celebrate the group's success. You want to celebrate everyone's success. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have the occasional showboater. But really, it's just not the same unless everybody's enjoying the win.
Mm-hmm. And have you, all of us have learned through different methods and from different people through our careers. Are there people that you've picked up those traits from or other traits from that you can kind of pinpoint in your career and go, well, they've had an influence on them?
I think the main influence that I have had is whether it's the likes of Stuart Warriner at PwC or Stephen Baxter at JLA, or to be honest, all the partners at North Edge. Mm. The main influence that all of those people have had on me is that they've allowed me to be myself and do, without wanting to sound too much like Frank Sinatra, do it my way, not try to shape me or change
yeah.
me. And I feel extraordinarily comfortable being myself in the role that I do. I'm not a different person when I come to work in any way, shape or form. You probably would get that, mm-hmm. having worked with me a bit. But so there's an enormous amount of kind of, I think, positive energy that you can get from just being yourself and being comfortable in yourself at work and using your own style and leaning into your own strengths to get things done. And you might do it a slightly different way to somebody else, but that's okay. And all of those individuals have supported me in that and encouraged me in that. And that has been the turning point, I think, in my career. Stop trying to be like everybody else and do it like everybody else and imitate everybody else and just do it your way.
And have so much more success. When did that happen? Was there a particular moment or a particular, I don't know, a turning point for you that you can pinpoint where you did start to be comfortable being yourself?
I think it was in PwC in corporate finance, really, and that was I guess Stuart was a big supporter of mine, but also I had some really great clients who I was able to enjoy working with, just being myself with, and we had a real laugh, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to put on any show or front or try and put on an act or anything like that. So that was where it started. But you know, you can have a glorious period like that and then feel like, say, you've got to revert to type. Mm-hmm. I went to JLA, and Stephen and Paul Humphreys, who's the group CFO at that time, also massively encourage me to do things my way. And I found it hard when I first got to North Edge, because it's a different vibe, right? And I felt a little bit intimidated, not because anybody else was deliberately trying to intimidate me, but I was, at the time, this was a few years ago, I was one woman out of 20 investment professionals. And I felt they all sort of looked and spoke the same, and you know, I've got my very own language and a way of being myself, and I sort of felt like as though I stuck out like a sore thumb. But very quickly, when I got to know all of the team and built relationships with them, I realised that actually, well, A, they're not all the same, and very different personalities, and B, they were really, really delighted to let me be myself. And encourage me to do so. So, it's been a continuum, I'd say. I'm leaning into it real hard right at the minute.
you touched upon there about that male-female ratio within North Edge, and that's, I know, something that we've worked on before, and you're very passionate about. I was going to ask, what you've seen change over the course of your career, and I wonder whether that was something that would fall into that category of more female leaders coming through and a greater push for that to happen. Would that be one of the big things that you've seen change, and what else have you seen change as your career's gone through?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'd caveat it to say it started to change. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's the sort of diversity itself and inclusion in our industry is improving, but it is slow going. And part of that is because, you can't, it's not easy to change things immediately overnight unless it's a real tokenistic effort. If you really want to embed and sustain positive change, it takes a bit of time. Intellectually people understand it and can get on board with it, but you've got to win hearts and minds and bring people with you, and you've got to encourage change in culture, and that is not a quick fix. But I think the biggest change in culture is around some of what I was talking about, allowing people to be themselves. Because actually, whether you're man, woman, whatever background you are, the ability to attract, recruit, retain a diverse group of people means that people have to be able to be themselves and live out their differences in the workplace. So I am super pleased, especially at North Edge, at how far we've come on that journey. But I think we can all agree we've got loads more to do.
Long ways to go.
Yeah. I think if I were to reflect on any other big changes, I think the biggest one would be sort of connectivity, and of course during the lockdown and various crises and things we've had over the last 12 months or so, that's been massively amplified because of working from home and calls like this, right?
Yep.
But even if I think back to when I first started working at PwC, I remember envying the audit manager because they had a BlackBerry. And like the day I got my BlackBerry was like, yes, I've made it.
You've made it.
Little did I know, but what that really meant was that I was contactable at all hours, any day of the week. And I think we've just we've accelerated into that really, haven't we? In so far as the technology that we use for business now and the way that we work means that it's 24/7. It doesn't ever stop. And whilst on the one hand that affords you a tremendous amount of flexibility, which is to be commended and valued, I think it also, like everybody will be realising and feeling the burn a bit now, it also has its downsides insofar as, you know, it's hard to separate. It's hard to have downtime. It's hard to switch off. And if I've learned anything as I've gotten older, it's that I do better work when I have the opportunity to switch off and do other things. Mm-hmm. And then re-engage with a fresh mind and a fresh perspective, which in my youth I didn't do that. I worked.
Carried on.
Yeah, I just kept working.
I think, yeah, we all did that for a period of time. I think you're absolutely right. You're in quite a good position. As you say, you sit on the boards for a number of businesses, including one that's doing self-adhesive wallpaper, which I saw, that blows my mind. That's amazing.
Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. I can't believe people haven't done that before. It's brilliant. Yeah. But post-COVID and coming back into the workplace, are there commonalities that you see across those businesses that point you to this is what will change and this is what will continue? How do you see it?
I think there's, you know, I think a lot of people would agree that the way we work will have been changed forever, given the last 12 months' experience. I think it's proven out how effective people can be working from home. So if there were any residual barriers to flexible working, I think they've just been absolutely smashed. I guess, though, the thing that I would recognise in our business, but also across our portfolio, is that people have yearned for work from home, but now a number of them yearn to be working in the office again, right? So. Yeah. There are things that we do miss from getting together, working collaboratively, having sort of those informal feedback and chat sessions. You know, like that there is something that's not quite there if you are 100% remote all of the time in some industries. I accept that doesn't necessarily mean in all industries, but where there's a creative element to what you're doing or a requirement for collaboration and cross-team working, I think it's we felt the gap, you know, we felt the lack of that. What a lot of our businesses are doing is as they plan to go back into the office is make sure they are consulting with their teams. Mm-hmm. A lot of businesses doing, you know, team surveys to understand what would work for their people, and what they feel would be a good balance, and then what they're going to try and do is triangulate that with the business needs and how can we make that sustainable and work for everybody, accommodate everybody's needs. So I think that's really important to just engage with the team as you sort of shape that policy, because I think some people will be surprised with what they learn from their people in terms of what balance they want, whether it's work from home, work from the office, or sort of, you know, doing everything by teams.
So let's come on to sort of the final section here then of what a couple of bits I want to sort of cover. So you're naturally competitive. Thought that you always naturally would kind of make it to the top because you're hardworking and naturally competitive. But over the course of your career, it's taken some time to learn that you can absolutely be yourself and do that. And now seem like you're in a really good place doing that and then enjoying it and enjoying the variety that you've got. If I can ask you, I asked James Marshall, who you work with, to describe you in three words. And what you're like as a leader in three words. What three words would you pick? And we'll see whether there's any correlation between the two.
Oh, dear. as a leader? What am I like as a leader?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, I guess a mix of you in the office and you as a leader, I think.
I think it would probably be something around chatty, positive, and maybe I can't think of a word for this, but sort of like in touch with what's going on.
Did he share this with you?
No, he didn't. Why? I didn't even know you'd spoken to him.
Chatty, positive, and caring is what he said. That's not bad. That's a pretty good ratio. That's pretty decent. Well done. Would you agree? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Part of my style is being chatty. Because you know, you share a little bit of yourself. People share a bit of themselves and you get to know each other, and your working relationship is forever changed by being aware of each other as people and as human beings, not just as, you know, colleagues. So that's the way I work. Albeit I do wish sometimes I was able to be brief. I am positive. I it's very rare that I'm grumpy or down in the mouth. I might get knocked down, but I get back up again.
We'll finish up, and I'm going to finish up with a few slightly more quick-fire questions.
All right.
Okay, some of these provided by your colleagues at North Edge, some of them provided by me. We'll see how we go, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Thor.
Okay. Chris Hemsworth, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Big Mac or triple cheeseburger?
Oh, triple cheeseburger.
That's off James Marshall.
Assuming you're meaning triple cheese, the Big Mac, the burger, not Big Mac, my husband.
I don't know. but you just chose triple cheeseburger. So let's hope it's
the burger.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go with that. On that vein, when is your husband's birthday?
Oh, my God, 10th of April.
Oh, I tell you what, if you knew your celebrity crush, but not your husband's birthday, and you'd also just chosen a triple cheeseburger instead of him, like, this is not going to end well.
Really badly.
Will you do the Great North Run with James Marshall next year?
Oh, never.
No, oh, my, I'll be disappointed. And final question. There is a fight that turns into a massive all-out brawl in the North Edge Leeds office. Who's the first person to run away and who wins the fight?
I think Manny wins.
It's a big claim.
I don't think I'm not sure any of us would run away.
Just all fight to the death.
No, yeah.
Right, okay, fair enough. Where do you think you'd place? If you said halfway, by the way, that would be a brilliant callback to what we spoke about.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wouldn't be... No, you're right, though. I wouldn't be at the bottom, but I definitely wouldn't be the winner. I'm not tough, but I wouldn't give up.
Okay, and final question. Part of the sort of the thread of this series will be that the person that we interview next will be nominated by the person who sat in front of us. So who would you like to see be interviewed next in this leadership series?
I think I'd have to say Ray Stenton.
Ray Stenton.
We probably don't want another North Edge person, do you?
Nope, we can include Ray. That's fine, no problem.
Yeah.
We'll go for Ray Stenton. Let's hope he says yes. we'll be very sure. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. That's magic, cool. And really appreciate your input, and no doubt speak to you again. Take care.
Thank you.
To hear more from our guests, including their extraordinary careers and expert advice, make sure you subscribe to the Career Chats podcast, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, to get the episodes as soon as they drop.